Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi Akeem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that one year when Ramadan started, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to us that a month has verily come over you in which there is a night that is better than 1,000 months. Whoever is deprived of the blessings of that night, it is as if he has been deprived of almost all good there is. And no one will be deprived of the blessings of that night unless they're extremely unfortunate, unless they're mahroom, unless they would want to, Allah Ta'ala wants to deprive them. One way to be deprived by Laylatul Qadr would obviously be not to search for it, not to make ibadah in it, not to make dua for it. But alhamdulillah, those of you who are sitting in front of me now are looking for Laylatul Qadr, trying to make ibadah in the last odd nights of the last 10 days. But there's another way to be deprived by it. And that is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in another hadith that if there are some people whose du'as are not accepted on Laylatul Qadr. And this I'll be mentioning again to you tomorrow night. There are some people whose du'as are not accepted by Allah Ta'ala on Laylatul Qadr. Can you imagine that the person is there, is awake, is turning to Allah Ta'ala, is making du'a, but there's something about them due to which Allah Ta'ala does not accept their du'as. One thing is that person who has ghil, that person who has some ill will, negative feeling, malice, spite, enmity in his heart towards the heart of another believer. This is something so detested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the person may be standing the whole night Laylatul Qadr, making dua for anything and everything. They may have completed the whole Quran in that month. They may have done so many things, and they think that finally they found Laylatul Qadr, and they're making dua to Allah Ta'ala, and that Allah Ta'ala will accept it. But because in their heart they harbor negative feelings towards a fellow believer, Allah Ta'ala will not accept their duas on that night. Allahu Akbar. That's why we have a whole bayan inshallah coming on this on night of the 8th. How to remove these negative feelings in our heart. That the most important teaching of what we call Huquq al-Ibad. What are the rights that others have from us? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. That the real believer, Muslim, is that person from whom all other Muslims, al-Muslimun, all other Muslims are completely safe from anything he may ever say or anything he may ever do. That's called a Muslim. So it means Allah Ta'ala on Laylatul Qadr will accept du'as of Muslimin. And anybody who hurts somebody with their tongue, whether in front of them or behind their back, or does some planning, action, strategy against someone, that person's du'as are not accepted by Allah Ta'ala on Laylatul Qadr. So it means that this is also one of the virtues of Ramadan, no doubt Laylatul Qadr, but this is also one of the things we have to train ourselves in this month, how to purify our heart in regards to other people, just like we want to purify our heart and fill it with the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith, many of you would have heard this also. This was in Bukhari. This is also in the collection of Bukhari. This is narrated by Sayyidina Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he says that once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his hujra and he wanted to tell us what is the specific day of Laylatul Qadr. But what happened, that unfortunately at that time, right at that time, it so happened that two Sahaba-e-Kiram were engaged in an argument with another. Now, we don't know, there's no mention hadith of the details of the argument, why the argument took place, but what we have a lot of details in hadith is about the Sahaba who they were. So can you imagine the two best people you know in the world? The two most virtuous, the most pious people you know in the world? Imagine the two greatest awliya you know in the world. Still they're less than any two sahaba. So imagine in your mind that what could be the argument, that could take place for whoever you think are the two greatest awliya in the world. It must have been so minor, so slight. Just a very slight, maybe very slight tinge to it. That's what it must have been, because they were Sahaba-e-Kiram. Any Sahaba is greater than all the awliyaullah throughout the all Ummah combined. One Sahaba on one side. All the awliya tabi'in up till today on the other side. One Sahaba is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So two Sahaba must have slight words being exchanged. So because of that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I came out. Means right when I was inside, I had the knowledge. And I came out to tell you the knowledge of when exactly the Qadr is. The second I stepped out, Allah Ta'ala took that knowledge away from me. Allah Ta'ala took that knowledge away from me. Why? Because two people were having, two Sahaba Ikram were having this slight argument with each other. So now, there's more to the hadith, but I want to first comment on this part. What does this mean? That means that sometimes when we make a mistake, we can actually deprive the gathering. When we make a mistake, we can actually deprive others. This is up to, although something else is going to be said, but up to now this lesson is there from this hadith. Right? When we make a mistake, we can deprive others of getting the teachings from the teacher. So that's why when we're living in a collective setting like itikaf, we don't want to make any mistakes. Because we don't want any mistake because of me deprives others. I don't want because some lapse in me, others become mahroom. So yes, for our own sake, we want to be steadfast, conscientious, have full adab, akhlaq, of masjid, of one another, of the ibadat, of the schedule, listen to attentively to all the advices with an open heart and make niyyah to follow them. Yes, we want to do that for our own sake. But we also make the intention to do it for the sake of others. Because if I lapse and I betray my Allah Ta'ala in my amal, then there's a danger others will also be mahroom. And out of all of you, no one should feel this more than me, right? That I have to have this biggest, heaviest burden on my shoulders. Then Nabi Akram continued, and then he said, perhaps this is better for you. Perhaps it is better for you. Now this is another teaching of the Prophet ﷺ. This is called husnizan. Always seeking the best way out. Always seeking the best way to understand a situation. Always looking for khair. Always looking for some grace, some blessing in a situation. Then imagine, now for a Nabi, right? Nabi's duty is that whatever Allah Ta'ala tells them to share with people, right? So in a way, Sayyidina Sulaiman would should have been angry with those Sahaba, right? Can imagine, me and you would be angry if two people argued and it cost you 100 rand. You know how angry you would be with them, huh? And Nabi Akram has a mansab, he has the duty, a mission of Nabuwa. So he should have been angry. But the Prophet wasn't like that. Can you look at this incredibly forgiving nature? Rahmatan lil alameen. He was a rahmah for all the worlds. So instead of getting angry, what did he do? He always looked positively. Complete what we call husnizan. Always optimism, always hope. So he said, okay, perhaps this is what's better for you. Allahu Akbar. Immediately, instantly. Everything step took one second. He came out in 1 second, the knowledge was taken away in 1 second, they were arguing the second before, and in 1 second he told them, perhaps this is better for you. No reacting, no panicking, no making hasty decisions. This is against the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have gone far from the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something happens, we panic, we react, we overreact. And many times we do things and you can never take it back, right? You can't take it back, you can't hit undo. How are you going to undo that word you said to somebody? It's very difficult. You may have to say 1,000 words, huh? Send her 1,000 flowers. Even then you'll be lucky to undo that one word. So Nabi Akram never ever had to be in that situation. That's the sunnah. If you want to know how close you're following sunnah, there's another thing to look. How often do you react? How often do you panic? How often do you overreact? How often do you lose your cool? How often do you lose your temper? How often do you act rashly? How often do you act brashly? That will tell you how close you are to the sunnah or not. So he said, perhaps this is better for you. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, seek it amongst the 5th, 7th, and 9th nights. So this is something I should have told you yesterday actually, but we didn't get to it. 5th, 7th, and 9th. So we have one hadith, Sahih hadith, saying seek in 21, 23, 25, all five. And then this is in Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ said, and this is right there at that moment, Right? When the knowledge had just been taken away. So some ulama are of the opinion that this is the most authentic hadith about the time of Laylatul Qadr. Because the Prophet is saying this seconds after Allah Ta'ala had given him knowledge of yaqeen as to which night it was. So it means 25th, 27th, and 29th. So now we have two more left, right? 27th, 29th, right? So we tell people if you can't spend all 10 days, do 5. If you can't do 5, you can do 3. And maybe tomorrow I'll tell you another one that if you can't do 3, you can do 1. Yes, that's also there. If you can't do 3, do 1. But 25th, 27th, 29th night. On the Fazail of Zikr. This has been reported by Imam Muslim Ramtadai that once Nabi Kareem Sosam went to a group of Sahaba and said to them, "What are you doing sitting here?" So they responded to the Prophet ﷺ that we are doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qalu jalasna nadhkurullaha. That we are sitting down and doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I told you this hadith in Sahih Muslim. What's the word the Sahaba themselves chose to use to describe their activity? Huh? Jalasna nadhkurullah. Now you see where the word majlis zikr came from? Hmm? Can you imagine how crazy it is for somebody to tell you that what you mean you're going to majlis zikr? Majlis zikr is bidah. Huh? I say, oh my friend, Sahaba-e-Kiram, in Sahih Hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, they use these words to describe what they do when they sit together in the masjid. So therefore, if I'm going to pick which gathering to sit in the masjid, I'll be happy if that gathering is exactly the same words that Sahaba Ikram used to my beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That said, unfortunately, there are some people who hijack this term, and in the name of Majlis Zikr, they may do some crazy things, right? So then how to stop this? The only way that you can stop evil is to revive the good. The only way the corrupt practices and the incorrect majlis of zikr will ever be contained is when we have more and more and more authentic and correct majlis of zikr. We have to revive this sunnah. Because it's being mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have to revive the sunnah of majlis of zikr. Second thing, even before I continue, it's also clear that Sahaba Ikram, what I told you that day, they were doing Nafla Ibadah Zikr in their own way. They were not instructed by the Prophet. Why? Now Nabi Akram walks into a masjid. Which masjid, by the way? Not just any masjid. Huh? Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina Munawwara. And Sahaba are sitting there doing something, and the Prophet ﷺ does not know what they are doing, therefore he has to ask them that, "What are you doing sitting here?" Hmm? So it means it's not that this, the Prophet ﷺ didn't tell them, "Go sit in masjid and make zikr." They did it on their own. When he came in and saw them, he didn't recognize what they were doing. Now if it was a method that he instructed them in, he would have recognized it. For example, they're reading Quran, right? He would recognize it. He didn't ask the question, "What are you doing?" He would say, "They're all sitting reading Quran." They were doing something else. On their own. Without being instructed by him. Why can you do something new that the Prophet didn't tell you? Because it's nafil ibadah. It's zikr. You can do a new method. It's same thing that's true for Sahaba. It's same thing that's true for all believers. What's jais for Sahaba is jais for us. There's no distinction. Understand? Okay. So they said we are making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright. Now, fair. And then they said we're praising Allah ta'ala and we're being happy to Allah ta'ala that He guided us to the deen of Islam. That He guided us to the deen of Islam. Means He blessed us with this hidayah of Islam. So Sayyidina Rasulullah then he said to them, what did he say? He says that Allah, called the Prophet said, Allah, means he swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that okay, you are sitting, ma ajlasakum illa dhalik, that you are sitting here only for this reason, to make zikr. If you are sitting here only for this reason, then Sahaba, they, yes, Prophet, by Allah, we swear by Allah ta'ala, we are sitting here only to do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have no other purpose. We are just doing zikr of Allah ta'ala. Then Nabi Akram says, okay, I asked you to swear not because I distrusted you in any way, not because I was questioning in any way, but because the angel Jibreel alayhi salam came to me right now. When the second you told me this, that you were sitting and doing zikr, immediately angel Jibreel came to me right now and informed me that Allah Ta'ala was praising you in front of his angels. Allahu Akbar. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. With the gatherings of Sahaba Ikram doing zikr, and the Prophet didn't even know about it. Yes? And who came and then eventually told the Prophet about it? Where did the approval come from? From Allah Ta'ala praising that gathering in front of the angels. And then Nabi Akram shared this with Sahaba. Sahaba shared it with other Sahaba, this statement. And then other Sahaba shared it with Tabi'in. And it's been shared all the way up to us. Why? Because this is deen. This isn't something unique to just a Sahaba. Otherwise, why mention it? Why put it in a book? Why transmit it? Why did Imam Muslim put it in his book? Every single hadith Imam Muslim put in his book is because he knows it's guidance. It's sunnah teaching. It's something we have to learn from, practice, follow, and implement in our own lives. So these are the barakat and the blessings of the gatherings of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll stop over here. We'll make this short zikr of 8, 9, 10 minutes, inshallah, and then make dua. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Wallahu dhu fadlin ala al-mu'minin. Wallahu dhu fadlin ala al-mu'minin. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا. الله ولي الذين آمنوا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. والله ولي المؤمنين. والله ولي المؤمنين. والله ولي المؤمنين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. مكتوب سبحان ربنا وبحمده اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد ومبارك وسلم يا رب كريم سن السواب of these آيات القرآن and درود شريف and صلوات to our beloved نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم to all of the أنبياء المرسلين عليهم السلام أجمعين to all of the صحابة الكرام رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين to all of the صحابة of all of the أنبياء رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين to all of the تابعين تبع تابعين صديقين شهداء صالحين to all of the أولياء كاملين to all of the علماء مفسرين محدثين فقهاء أصوليين يا رب كريم especially to the مشايخ and أولياء of سلسلة قادرية سلسلة چشتية سلسلة نقشبندية سلسلة سروردية سلسلة شادلية and all of the أولياء الله who are known only to you يا رب كريم enable us to follow in their footsteps enable to have the same feelings in our heart that they had in their heart you know the same connection that they had with these ayat of Quran but that same connection in our heart with these verses of Quran the same connection and love they had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam but that same love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our heart you know, the same love and feeling with which they recited salawat and durood you know, put the same feelings in our heart when we recite salawat and durood and ya Rabbi Kareem you know, let us not be mahroom of anything in this month of Ramadan. We want every blessing of every night, every blessing of every day, every blessing of every moment, because we are muhtaj, ya Rabbi Kareem. We are needy, ya Rabbi Kareem. Allah gift us with every mercy of this month. And ya Rabbi Kareem, I ask that you take out from our heart all of the ill will, all of the malice, all of the bad feelings, all the resentment, all the envy, all the arrogance that we have towards others. Allah purify our heart of every wrong feeling towards others. Make us have this true sunnah heart of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us be as forgiving as he was. Let us be as positive as he was. Let us be ever and always as hopeful as he was. And ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us the barakah of these majalis of zikr. Put all of the same blessings that you sent on those sahabi ikram who were gathered in the masjid to make your zikr. Ya Rabbi, ask that you send the same blessings on our hearts as we gather in this masjid for these gatherings of zikr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us amongst the zakirin and zakirat, the salihin and salihat. Ya Allah, ya Rabb, Rabbana takammal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين